Hey, how's it going? How you been? What's scrappin'?
The weekly scratch, motherfuckers.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the weekly scraps episode 58. Yo, oh my goodness, I'm losing count with all of this, man. 56? I think this is 58. Yes, 50. Yeah, okay, I'm going to settle on this executive decision. 58. South Korea, UFC Busan, great fight card. I thought they had a lot of good fights that panned out better than what I originally expected. I know, you know, sometimes they say, like, the cards that don't have the best names are usually the best fights. But this one I wasn't so sure about. And I don't mind my hair, it's kind of crazy. But, yeah, I wasn't so sure about it. So I didn't know which way to kind of lean towards in terms of the way the fights were going to turn out. So I'm actually happy the way the fights actually, they had a lot of entertainment value in them in terms of, I missed the first like three. I did watch some of the Ryan Benoit fight with that guy Healy at bantamweight. I'm not sure why Benoit was fighting at bantamweight. I guess they might have told me he had to or something like that. But a lot of the other fights were pretty freaking good, a lot of good stuff for sure. And I'm not going to lie, I did miss a good amount of those fights because I was kind of halfway asleep, like trying to struggle through watching them. But the ones that counted for me the most were the ones on the main card. So those are the ones I'm really, really talking about. By the way, they were great fights. I think we got some clarity with some things. The bantamweight division, featherweight division, what else? And light heavyweight, we have a little bit more clarity in terms of what's going to happen going forward. And even a little bit at the flyweight. There was a lot of key fights in for a lot of divisions that I think played out differently than I expected. One being the Machinel fight. I thought Matt would have won that fight over the tough veteran in Pantoja, but that was not the case. Other than that, man, I'm getting better with my therapy. My PT is going pretty well. Actively with the assistance from the occupational therapist. She helped me out a lot. My range of motion going up, breaking the wrist up, was at 45 degrees. And even this right now on my good hand is already close to that 45 degrees. Not a complete right angle. Obviously, none of our fit hands should make a right angle, so to speak, but does go up on a little bit of a curve and eventually gets to a right angle. So I'm getting there, and this is not even actively doing anything. Like, she actively assisted, but if I get the help, I can get a little bit more range with that, and I'm about 5 degrees on the other side with my palms, my fists, and my palm going down that way. So all in all, pretty good in terms of the speed. She said that's really good for where I'm at post-op, so I'm super excited about it. She was happy for me. And obviously, 5 degrees going this way is not very good, but we're working it. I mean, that's a lot from it was at zero and it was at negative. It was at negative 20 before. So for me to finally be getting it down and the other way going the right direction is pretty good in terms of how fast everything has been moving along. So I'm super excited about that, and I can't wait to get back in the gym full-fledged training. But we're going to see what's going to happen. I'm predicting, at least the doctor thinks I can start hitting pads possibly January. Sorry, I'm fiddling the mic right now. Possibly January, which would be ideal. Then I could really finish. Not January, like January 1st, like halfway through January. So probably like the 15th or the 18th, around that time frame. Probably start cracking the pads a little bit. Not too hard. I'm not going to kill them. I'm going to ease my way into it, obviously. And just begin to get into the full swing of using my hand at full capacity again and getting ready for training camp. You know, if I get myself in prime shape, which I'm already in pretty solid shape, I think if my hand wasn't busted, I could easily do 2 rounds, no problem, of sparring. 3 is the ideal. That's the real marquee number that you want to be able to hit comfortably. And especially when you're going with different guys, fresh bodies, that's where you know you're like, all right, I'm in really good shape right now. So that's where I'm at mentally with everything and just the ideal timeline of where everything is going to go. So, I know I say this a lot, but I'm definitely excited about this because it's been a long time coming. I can't wait. All right. Now, other than that, I don't have much news from like Thursday because we did the podcast relatively late on Thursday. I don't have much news other than that. I mean, we got the boys wrestling. I'm going to go help out with them. Not today because today they started at 9 o'clock. Right now it's 11 a.m. Eastern time. So going to get this podcast up. It's going to be relatively short and sweet. And I think tomorrow I should be able to get down there at 9 o'clock to help out with the guys on Christmas Eve. And I think we're working out tomorrow. I got to ask, double check with the coaches. I was one of those kids in high school. I always wanted to work out. So hopefully those kids are going to show up and put in that work to get that extra mileage in for the season, for year end when it counts. Now, before we get into our weekend rewind, UFC Busan, I just want to give a quick shout out to our guys at Hydrocana. You can't really see it. I'm going to try to move it over to this camera. Hydrocana, our gummy bears. Now, I believe these, to make sure, double check, yes, 10 milligrams of nano CBD is right here on the package. I love these because it's essentially taking the shooter, which is this, the rehydration drink. Remember, it's 25 milligrams of nano CBD in the shooter and in the drink packet that you mix with water. That is the equivalent of an IV bag all crammed into this or into a packet. And with that, essentially, you're getting the best rehydration possible for guys who are depleting themselves, cutting weight. So for myself, after a workout, to help with the cramping and everything, this is a scientifically proven ratio to help you guys out to rehydrate. And again, I'm a part of the brand. So for me, I'm more invested in making sure these guys do well and spreading the good word, because one, it's a great product, and two, obviously I have a due investment in it as well, and that's just full transparency. Again, these guys do a lot of high level work in terms of the science behind it. So again, you're getting high quality product, and nano CBD is a CBD that you want in terms of your cellular level being able to absorb everything. So these are the guys you definitely want to check out. I know there's other products out there with CBD in it, but it's not going to be like this, and that's 100% guaranteed. And again, nobody's putting in the work in terms of the science level to making sure you are getting the proper rehydration that you need after a hard workout or even after a long night of drinking. All right, real quick, and remember, oh yeah, the gummy bears. These things are super addictive. You try not to have more than one or two packs for the day. That would be like overkill, but super addictive. I'm telling you right now, if you have one, you're gonna want to eat the whole thing in one sitting. But again, just full disclosure, you don't want to overload on certain vitamins. So definitely check these guys out, and you will not be disappointed. All right, our weekend rewind. Kung Ho Kang versus Lee Pyong, Team Alpha Male product. Now, this guy, the Team Alpha Male product in Pyongyang, I can't really pronounce his name, tough dude, but could not seem to figure out how to keep himself upright on the feet and not get taken down by Kang, who was looking to do nothing but take his opponent down. Now, he did a phenomenal job of beating up Kang from his back. That fight went to a split decision. I thought Kang won, but I saw the argument for why one judge gave it to Pyong. It made perfect sense. The objective of a fight is to inflict damage to your opponent. That's a fist fight. So I get it. I would not have been mad whatsoever if Pyong got that decision. I remember watching, I was like, he's probably going to get it because he's in South Korea, one. And two, he took down his opponent multiple times, and they probably respect that a ton, and they probably value that a lot more than maybe another commission and whatnot. But Kang got the win in a very close contested fight. Pyong did everything he could to try to fight off of his back, but I don't think he did everything that he could to get back up to his feet. I think being over there with a top MMA grappling team like Team Alpha Male, he would have done a lot better. I would have assumed he would have done a lot better in that department, but that was not the case. We have a visitor at the door. Hopefully she has a key, because I'm not getting up. But yeah, man, so that was a really tough fight, close contested fight, and I think, I wasn't mad either way, whichever decision the judges were going to give that. Now, this next one at the middleweight division, Jung Young Park versus Barry Ault, really, really good fight. I thought Berrio was pretty tough, but Park, it seems like all the natives, all the Korean fighters on this card were like on a mission to prove themselves. Apart from the Kang fight, that fight was kind of like, kind of like more of a lay and pray. But everybody else that I was able to see was out looking to deliver and put on a show for their fans in their native country. Everyone was looking to make a statement win, or get a statement win, for lack of better words. And I was super impressed by this and how well everybody fought. Now, the next one, this guy, Jung over Rodriguez, Daun Jung. Man, all these names sound the same. Daun Jung versus Mike Rodriguez, light heavyweight division. Now, Jung came out and starched Rodriguez in devastating fashion. I was like, wow. I was blown away. I did not see the fight going like that. And he went out and he did his thing, man. I was super impressed. I don't know if I have the clip of the actual fight. I don't, man, because I wanted to walk you guys through how he set that up so beautifully. It was amazing, man. I thought it was pretty sick, pretty badass, and very impressive the way he was able to do that. But I think he was the one who threw the uppercut, the faint uppercut, and threw the slammed the right cross down the middle. I think it was him, and got his head off the center line perfectly, and I think Rodriguez parried for the uppercut, for the five, what we call a five. So one is a jab, two is a cross, three is a hook, four is a rear uppercut, five is usually a lead uppercut, six is usually a hook up top, and then you got the seven and eight to the body, which is usually left and right, hook to the body. So he threw the lead five, but he feinted it. And I think right from what I remember, Rodriguez, he bit on it super hard, and from there the cross came down the middle while his hand was down, and bing, right there, dropped him. I was like, dude, pinpoint accuracy on that, and the way he set it up was fucking impressive. That's some high-level shit. Feints are everything in a fight. It's like watching basketball or watching the NFL, basketball or football, and you see guys, they either make a stutter step, it's like a halfback when he's juking in and juking out, or a basketball player when he's doing a C-rip, and he's hitting a stutter step one way and then ripping back the other way. Fakes and feints are everything. Same thing with fighting. You can't just be a guy who just every time you move, you're going to throw something. You got to keep your opponent guessing. And that's the difference in a fight like this with a guy with a high fight IQ, like Jung, who goes out there and takes out a guy, a tough dude, and Mike Rodriguez the way he did. Now, the next fight, Du Hoi Choi versus Charles Jourdain. Oh, my Lord. I thought this was going to be the rebirth of Du Hoi Choi, and unfortunately, it was not. I honestly thought this was going to be an easy win for him. No, let me not say easy. I thought it was a very favorable matchup. Du Hoi Choi looked like the Terminator that almost the entire first round until he got clipped and dropped at the end by Jourdain, who was just throwing caution through the wind. Now, this was his second fight. His first fight, he had a debut fight against Desmond Green. Short notice. Canada fighter came down to Rochester to fight Desi in his hometown. He came out hard in that third round. He looked good. But the first two rounds, Desi was seeming to have his way. And you know what they say about the UFC jitters. I do think there is some truth to that. Now, in this fight, although he was fighting a high-profile guy, he was fighting a hometown kid in Du Hoi Choi. He throws everything. He was getting clipped up, pieced up here and there. Du Hoi Choi is getting out of the way of his strikes by like centimeters, not even inches. Some strikes were whiffing past his face. I was like, bro, this is really the game of inches, because had he just stepped in just the slightest amount, that strike is sitting him on his ass. Head kicks he was throwing, whiffing past his face. I'm like, bro, Du Hoi Choi is letting this be he's letting this get way too close than it probably needs to be. And I thought he could have utilized more feints. And he just felt like, just watching him just look like he had a cruise control the entire time, just kind of hanging out, not really putting much respect on the offense of Jourdain. And eventually, Jourdain kept throwing caution into the wind. The one time he clipped Du Hoi Choi and sat him down, he tried to follow up, you know, just trying to throw the flying knees and everything. But Du Hoi Choi was able to recover. And eventually, Choi's attacks started to come in a lot slower. And although Jardine was looking more fatigued from circling so much and kind of had like that more panic and a more urgency. And this is what I said, like even like my fight with Marlon, like I didn't have that, like the nervous jitters to go in there and kind of be like, wow, my reflexes and my sense of safety and survival were heightened because it's that fight or flight mechanism that turns on. I felt like for Jardine, it was on. And I felt like for Troy, he was kind of more relaxed than he probably should have been. And nothing wrong with being relaxed. I think everyone fights different and competes different at certain frequencies in their body level and their mind and how they come in. Like, I think if you come in more tentative, that might be better for some than others. I think if you come in more relaxed, more calm, you might flow better than some others. Like for myself, I need to be uppity up. Like, yo, let's fucking go. Almost like I'm raging. Like, ah! That's the way I need to feel. And I feel like Troy was super, super relaxed. And Jardine was more like, dude, I'm the underdog. This is a big fight. I know this guy is really fucking good. I don't want to get clipped with that right hand. And Troy had that thing locked and loaded almost the entire two rounds that the thing lasted. Or was it three? I think it was two. But eventually got him, sat him down, and got him out of there. Clipped him with that left hand down the middle and sat him down. Both good displays of both guys throwing heavy strikes. I will say Jardine was throwing more of the kitchen sink than Duho Choi was. And when I say this, I don't mean it in a disrespectful way. I'm saying he was throwing everything with bad intentions. Duho Choi was throwing hard, but you could tell there's no real wind up, no real like urgency, like I was saying before, where Jardine was like, yo, I'm trying to take this motherfucker out if I can. You know, hopefully one of these land, and eventually he did land, and it wasn't even the wind up shot. It was the one he caught Choi coming in, and he beat him to the punch with the left cross. Sat him down and got the win. Now our next one, Volkan Ozdemir versus Alexander Rakic. I can't remember how they pronounce it at the fights, but Rakic, either way, potato, patata. Great fight, back and forth fight. Ozdemir landing those low kicks, eventually put a nice, huge human fetus, probably his, you know, right on the calf. His calf looked like it was having a little baby. Beat him up. He was landing some solid strikes. Rakic was playing more so the matador, playing on the outside, fighting the long game, you know, using his length to his advantage. Ozdemir looked like he had the much shorter reach, much shorter in height, trying to get inside, having a tough time. Rakic doing a great job. If every time Ozdemir tried to barrel his way in, he was landing and clipping him. And I was like, dude, if one of these lands right on the chin, this could be a short night for him. He was able to weather the storm. Good solid defense from Ozdemir, and eventually he was able to get inside and try to make it a dirty fight where he could make it a dirty fight and chop down the legs where he could chop down the legs of a very mobile opponent who eventually slowed down due to those leg kicks, I thought, and of course the duration of the fight. Split decision. I wasn't sure who was going to get the nod. I really couldn't put my finger on who was really winning. Ozdemir was landing in bunches where he could corner him against the cage, where Rakic was landing the more clean outside strikes and getting back on his bicycle. I definitely thought the first round was for Rakic. Second and third ones were the ones that I was like, I'm not really sure which way this is going, but you can see the significant damage on the leg of Rakic from Ozdemir's leg kicks finally playing dividends. I thought he could have really, really kept attacking that a little bit more to really solidify that third round, of course, and even the second round. But, you know, you get your opponent hurt, you start to smell blood, and eventually you want to try to decapitate them. And that's not my style of fighting. I don't try to really decapitate anybody. I just try to touch you up, piece you up, and eventually get you down to the ground so I could submit you, try to take a limb home, or try to render you unconscious if you don't tap out. You know, everyone's got a different style, and I thought Ozdemir was slowing him down just enough so he could get him right where he wanted to, so he could line him up and get that guy out of there. The lightweight division, the middleweight division, and even the heavyweight division is all starting to get life again with younger fighters. Much younger guys coming in, guys coming up, where the average age seemed to be like fossil from like 38 to Fossil at those heavyweight divisions. And now it's starting to slowly climb down where we're starting to see more guys who are getting signed where in their early 30s, or they're a younger guy like a Rakic, like a Dominic Reyes, like a Johnny Walker. Even though he's not that young, but he's on the younger side of what most of those guys in that division are. So I'm happy about that. And I think it's opening up and making these weight classes a lot more exciting for everybody to want to tune in and get more behind wanting to see these new young upcoming contenders. Rakic is going to be around for a while, in my personal opinion. I think he's the next big guy coming up for sure. I think that guy is definitely going places, and when he gets it all together and starts putting the stamp on people like he did against Jimmy Manuel, man, I think he's going to be a very dangerous force because he's a very big guy. He's got a big frame, athletic, strong build, it looks like. And I think he's going to be able to make some noise and cause some trouble for those guys at the top of the division. Now, we're going to move on to the main event of the evening. Introducing first, Chang Song Jong, the Korean Zombie. Yo, this is the first time I ever heard a announcer ever go AKA Oz, also known as the Korean Zombie. That was fire. That was fire. I just had to bring that to everyone's attention. Now, he took on the always tough and durable Frankie Edgar. Now, there's a lot of things to be said about this fight. But before we say that about this fight, one last time, remember our guys at drinkhydrocannon.com. Go check them out. Use my discount code FUNKMASTER at checkout to get yourself your discount. I believe it's still 20% or 10%. I think it's 20 though. Go check it out. Don't quote me, but I believe it's 20%. I got to double check. I'm pretty positive in the past it's been 20%. And if you order over $50 worth of product, you get a free Funkmaster chain shirt. I don't have it on right now, but go check these guys out. Remember, we got the shooters, 2.5 ounces. We got our new gummy bear line that we just got in. And we have our packets. You dump it, you mix it in with water. And it's great goodness, baby. It's good goodness. This is our anti-hangover and our hangover cure, as well as post-workout or rehydration. Post-workout rehydration. Yeah, I said that right. Why did I think I said that wrong? Either way, go to drinkhydrocannon.com and check out all the supplies and stuff and read it up for yourself to see that you are getting some high-quality CBD, nano CBD, as well as some high-quality, scientifically proven rehydration formulas in terms of getting your body back to feeling the way it should be at that homeostasis level. My discount code is FUNKMASTER. I forgot to mention that earlier. My discount code is FUNKMASTER. Now, this fight, there was a lot of speculation with this. Frankie Edgar is going to fight the Korean Zombie on short notice. Then he's going to turn back in about a month and go fight Corey Sandhagen out in Raleigh, California. I'm like, no. No, the fuck you're not. And not to be a negative Nancy, but let's call it what it is. No one fights the Korean Zombie and comes out unscathed to the point where they could fight a month later. Like, who are we kidding here? He's the Korean Zombie for a fucking reason. That guy hits you and he's looking to put you out, or he's going to drag you through the deep waters and he's having fun in there trying to fucking hurt people. And I love it. It's what we all sign up to watch, right? Now, couple of things. Let's start with the fight. The Korean Zombie touches him up, gets him out of there, drops Frankie once, comes back and in, you know, he's on his back like a backpack. Frankie's weathering the storm. He's tying up his hands in the turtle position, doing the right thing, showing the ref that he's trying to intelligently defend himself as per the rule book, correct? He's doing the right things. Turtling, not just covering his head. He's covering the arms, blocking his head. He's trying to move. He gets flattened out a couple times. Korean Zombie puts the boots in, arches his back, finding his shots. Boom, boom, boom. Picking his shots. Not landing, not throwing the kitchen sink, but these shots are landing. They have some oomph on it. You hear Mark Goddard out there imploring Frankie. Move, Frankie. Frankie, get out of there. Or I'm going to stop the fight. Frankie, show me something. Frankie, you got to get out of there. Frankie, move. Very, very vocal. Why aren't refs doing this more often? Thank you, Mark Goddard, for that. Now, on the flip side of that coin, now, before let me finish my thoughts on that. I loved every second of that. He gave Frankie every single chance that he could to fight and get out of those tough positions, to stay in the fight and offer a chance for him to come back after putting in a tough training camp. And obviously, his end of his training camp and his peak wasn't supposed to be till January. But he took the fight on short notice with a big opportunity on the table. Maybe a new chance for him to throw his name back in the hat for title contender had he beaten the Korean Zombie. He was obviously ranked higher than Korean Zombie, right? He was the red. He had the red tape on his gloves. Red is usually for the guy who's ranked higher. Blue is for the challenger. So that's the way we correlate these things. So Mark Goddard did the right thing, gave him every single chance that he possibly could have, which was giving him a close watch on the positions, moving, shuffling from one side, shuffling to the other side. And I know he's just like us. He's human. We all make mistakes. And I'm pretty sure he saw all the backlash he was getting for the Colby Covington fight. And a lot of people were saying it was kind of split down the middle. Everyone saying it's just, everyone saying too early. What side do we err on? I, as the fighter, tend to think I want every last second that I can to fight. I put in so much time and effort. Yes, I want to live to fight another day. Meaning if I'm unconscious, ref, and I'm getting clapped and I'm not moving, I think after the first one, you should stop it. I think that's common sense. And again, these are split-second decisions where these guys are raining down punches. Girls are raining down punches. You have to have a watchful eye. You have to be able to see clearly what's going on in front of you. Mark Goddard did that in this fight main event with Frankie Edgar versus Chang Sung Jung, the Korean Zombie, a.k.a. Super happy about it. Now, the week before, Usman versus Colby Covington. Two completely different fights, two completely different scenarios. Yes, I acknowledge that. But here's the difference. People are saying, well, that was in the fifth round after the accumulation of damage. I'm like, okay, that's fair for you to say. But here's my wild card to that. Why wasn't Mark Goddard then vocal like he was then vocal against Frankie Edgar against Chang Sung Jung? Why is there inconsistency in that? Do you not think that would have possibly played a factor? Once Mark started voicing he got vocal in there, you can tell Frankie was like, all right, I gotta fucking move. And he was trying to move as much as he can. And that was a hard position to get out of. Eventually, he came out through the back door and almost got a hold of the Korean Zombie's leg to try to get him down to the ground. Zombie got out, turned around, put on the finishing touches. Frankie threw a half-speed lazy jab. And the Zombie just did a slight lean off center line. Uppercut, left hook, right hand, left. And that was all he needed to sit Frankie down again on his ass and follow up with the punches and get him out of there. The ref then said, now this is 100% enough. He's seeing the eyes. He saw Frankie was up, got up, and he was hurt. And once Frankie got turned and sat down, he turned and almost faced down again. I thought that was a perfect stoppage. He gave him every single chance that he could have. Now, the Colby fight. There was no vocal anything. Anything. Not that I can recall. I don't remember hearing any of that. And that's why people are making such a big difference, a big deal about it today compared to, you know, these two stoppages, because they were so different in the way they were handled. I thought the situation with Usman, everyone was saying, well, he got dropped twice in a row. I'm like, yeah, he got dropped twice in a row. I've seen someone get dropped three times in a row. I believe it was Shane Burgos versus Felipe Avrantes at the Coliseum. I believe it was at the Coliseum. Three times in a row. I think he might have even been dropped four times. I think it was at the Coliseum. If not, it was in Poland. Either way, he got dropped fucking a lot. I think it was three or four times in one fight. I've never seen someone get knocked down that many times. The fight was not stopped. So, he was hurt earlier than that in the fight. And the ref knew he broke his jaw. Yeah, the ref knew he broke his jaw. Says who? Who told you guys and gave you guys that information that Mark Goddard knew that Kobe had a broken jaw? I don't know how anyone could make that definitive decision and say, yeah, Mark Goddard did the right thing because he knew he had a broken jaw. I mean, no one really knew he had a broken jaw. I mean, who was the doctor that ruled, yeah, you had a broken jaw in the middle of the fight? If you've never broken your jaw, how would you know? Unless you clearly heard it crack or you pop. I don't think Mark heard it crack or pop. You're in a fight with a lot of screaming fans. So for people to bring that up as an argument, it makes no sense. Kobe said he had a broken jaw. He told his cornerman. Now, are you telling me that Mark Goddard was in his corner? He told Mark Goddard that he broke his jaw? Or was Mark Goddard on the other side? Where are the refs in the fight? Have you guys ever stopped to think about that? Where are the refs in between the rounds? Are they going to the corners and looking at the guys? Not that I know of. If they do feel something bad is going on, they'll go over like, hey, again, just to let you know, I warned you about the fingers to the eyes. If you do it again, I'm going to take a point. Then they walk away. They don't sit in the corner. Hey, you all right? I've never seen that. So for people to say that the ref knew his jaw was broken, I'd like you guys to prove that. How the fuck did you guys know that he knew, that Mark Goddard knew that Kobe Covington's jaw was broken? I don't think you can. Show me. And I'll shut the fuck up. Because if I knew the guy's jaw was broken, then maybe I'm thinking differently as a ref. But at the end of the day, as a ref, I mean, people have fought with broken arms in rounds. Is the ref supposed to stop the fight then? No. If you didn't tap and you want to continue fighting, you're allowed to continue fighting. It's like the Misha Tate versus Ronda Rousey. When the arm was broken, I do believe it was that fight. They just stopped the fight. But she never tapped. The ref just said, I just can't watch this. I mean, you're protecting the fighter. But essentially, if you broke your arm, dislocated it, like Sandhagen did against, I believe it was Johnny Eduardo. It was a very good jiu-jitsu guy. Or no, Yuri Alcantara. He broke his arm, dislocated the elbow. I keep saying broke the arm. He dislocated the elbow. You saw it pop. Corey Sandhagen gets out. He finishes the fight. Why not stop it then? So I'm just looking for some type of consistency in what we're trying to accomplish here. A couple of things need to happen. The refs need to clearly define in the rule book and then clearly define and enforce the ruling of what is considered the back of the head. Because they say it's the Mohawk. Now, you see that someone tweeted to me a diagram of what the Mohawk was. It was like a little 2 inches thing. If you're trying to tell me the back of the head is only 2 inches of space, something is fucking wrong with you. If I take my whole palm and I cup the back of your head, you're telling me I hit the ear, so it's not really the back of the head? That makes no fucking sense. What are we talking about here? There needs to be more definitive ruling of what we're looking at so that everyone can be informed as the viewer, the casual fans and the hardcore fans who may not know, as well as the fighters who may not know. We're told if it touches the ear, it's good. So my fist is not very big. I could touch the ear and I could get some pretty good range and ground and get to the back of the head, touching the ear. I can just clip I'm just touching the ear. I'm going to turn so you guys can see. Touching the ear. There's a lot of room for error right there. So we need to decide, is the touching the ear good enough? Or maybe, I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe they need to say anywhere the headphones cover and backwards is no good. If it's on the ear is good. But if it's, I don't know. It's a tough fucking thing to really pinpoint. And I don't know myself. I'm not going to sit here and say, That's what it should be. But I could tell you this. If I take my hand and I cup you in the back of your head, you might see a white light, a flash of white light. Yeah, your eyes might flicker a little bit. You might feel like a jolt go through your body. It's a fucked up strike. So why, if people are talking about safety of fighters, then why is that legal? And I don't want to harp on this too much, but you know, we're beating a dead horse here. I mean, how many times can we keep talking about this thing? I just want to say congrats to Mark Goddard. He did a great job, in my opinion, saving Frankie. I know a lot of people were saying things about Frankie. Now, here's my assessment of this. Frankie is obviously up there in age. Aldo's significantly younger. Aldo made his debut at 35, and it went pretty fucking well. Frankie, at, I believe, 37 or 38, for him to go down and make his debut at 35, I think they're in two different leagues. I think two different guys who've had different careers in terms of the damage they've taken in their careers. Now, I'm trying to see if I can even find... Yeah, Frankie, Max Holloway, Cub Swanson, he beat him, edged him out. Ortega got, can we admit, it was a killing. He fought Yair Rodriguez, doctor stoppage. He was able to get Yair down, a very young Yair down, and beat him up. Jeremy Stephens, he won a decision, which I'm still really surprised by that. But the fight with Jeremy Stephens, that was in 2016. So, fast forward three years later, in terms of being in 2020, it's tough to say, like, are the year, the time of the Iron Strong Frankie Edgar, are those best years behind him? It's really tough to say. That's a decision him and his team and his wife and the rest of his family need to make. It's something that I'm eventually going to get questioned on at some point. And this is why I'm hoping I could come to peace and want to retire much sooner than letting the game dictate that by the younger kids coming in and fucking me up and whooping my ass. I'm hoping that I have the balls and the courage to say, all right, I am content and I'm willing to walk away. I think this is the decision that Frankie needs to make. And at some point, he's going to have to be honest with himself. Look at the performances. Look at his health in terms of when he's sparring or in the fight, where he can be honest about if a jab really, really affected him and made him feel like, yo, I was in trouble. And he has to be honest with himself. You know, some people, you know, the last thing we want to see is him get punchy. But we can tell when a chin is gone and deteriorated, when your eyes are rolling in the back of your head from a jab. And I'm not saying that's what happened with Frankie at all. I'm saying these are the things he needs to look for to give himself some type of closure and peace of mind. To be like, all right, I think it's time. I think I did enough. I think I made enough money. And I think I could happily and peacefully walk away. Or take a fight with a guy that's favorably matched, like a good matchup, your final swan song. And hopefully you could win that fight and sail off into the sunset. The only thing that's going to suck is if it's a gimme fight and you end up losing that fight, then it's going to be that, like, I just feel like I want one more so I could kind of go out, you know, with the W type of thing. And from what I've seen over the years, man, there's very few people who retire with a win. Very, very few. I mean, come on. The rice is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. The rice is in the pudding. I don't know. I forgot what the guy, he corrected me on there. But these are the things he has to think about. And I'm not saying he's done, but I will say his chances of becoming a top contender, a title contender, not top contender, because he's still a top contender for right now, those days are definitely behind him, in my opinion. And I know it might suck for a fellow fighter to say that about another fighter, and people might say, oh, well, you're jealous, and blah. Man, fuck you. I'm giving a fucking opinion on what I'm watching. I have no skin in this game of whether or not Frankie wants to continue fighting. Preferably, honestly, I would like to fight. If he decides to come back down to 35, I would like to rebook that matchup between him and myself, and hopefully I can make my name off of him. Let's be honest here. What are we trying to do? This is the passing of the torch. Eventually, these things happen. And there is still a good chance that maybe I'm wrong. And he has a lot more in the tank. And he's just a 35er. Because we can tell when he won the belt at 55, those guys were just so much... Their skill level wasn't as high. They were bigger. Frankie took a lot of punishment. But he weathered the storm and beat a lot of those bigger, stronger guys. Now he's coming down to 45. He had success, but now he's coming back down to another weight class because those guys and the skill level, they're bigger and they're getting stronger, they're getting faster and becoming more technical. Now he has to come down to fight guys that are closer to his size and his frame. So again, he could possibly beat me, or this could be a good way for me to make a name for myself off of a legend and a tough, well-respected dude like Frankie Edgar. That's all I'm saying. And I would like to be the guy who throws his name in the hat and get that shot to see what I got against a guy like that. But again, man, congrats to the Korean Zombie. He did his fucking thing, went out there, performed. And these are two fights in a row where he kind of shocked the world. Renato Moicano, he got him out of there. And people said it was kind of a fluke. I'm like, dude, no, the Korean Zombie is for real. He's legit. He's a true bossed up motherfucking player pimp. And I would not be upset if he were to leapfrog everybody else based off his name and his two first round finishes to get a title shot over the rest of those guys. I think it would be a great idea in terms of a business plan and marketing. Why not? I mean, you got Zabit, who would be big in Russia. I know you got Max Holloway going to get the immediate rematch, which he should. And then you got, who else is it? Yair Rodriguez. But I know Yair did beat the Korean Zombie with a last second crazy, ridiculous elbow from hell that flatlined him. But the Zombie was winning the fights for 4 minutes and 58 seconds. Or 57 seconds. For 4 minutes and 58 seconds. Wow. For 24 minutes and 58 seconds, he was winning that fight. 57 seconds. And then ends up getting caught with something straight up ridiculous out of a freaking comic book. And gets the win. So I think arguably you can say he's right there with the best of the best. And still probably better than Yair. I wouldn't even be mad at a rematch. Because that's how close the fight was. And he comes out and pulls off a Hail Mary knockout like that. Or put Yair with Zabit Magomedsharipov. Because they were supposed to book that before Dana cut him. And then they brought him back. I don't know. They tried to cut him, which made no sense to me. But that ain't my ball game. All right, guys. We're going to wrap this up. This is my thought process on everything. Again, with the referee, I just think they need more clarity on these things and more consistency. Be consistent the way you officiate. Don't treat anybody impartially. And as well as for the females, you know, don't think because she's a female or she's got a pretty face or you just don't want to see a female taking the damage. We signed up for this. It's like my whole skit thing. You asked for this. We signed up for this. Let us fight. If we want to go out on our shield, let us go out on our shield. I think it should also be a discussion like in the back room. Ask the fighter like, hey, you know, would you like to fight, live to fight another day if the situation gets tough and gnarly for you? Or ask him like, hey, you know, and let the fighter be like, no, I want to fucking, you know, let me fight to the bitter end. Like, I want to be out before, you know, if I'm moving, not just let me go out because that would be stupid to say. But if I can show that I'm moving and I'm trying to fight or I'm trying to protect myself to weather the storm and I'm moving some way on the ground, protecting from the punches, if they're not concussing me and having me like doing all kinds of stupid shit, yeah, my eyes are still open, so let me go until I'm stiff. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying to let the guy get every single opportunity or the girl gets every single opportunity to fight back and get themselves back into the fight because we train so hard for this. We only get one of our paychecks if we lose. And we want to know definitively, like, yeah, there was no way I was coming back for that. Thank you, ref, for not letting me take more punishment than I needed to. And there is a thing called being too tough for our own goods. There are a lot of fighters like that. We take too much damage than we need to take, and we need help be saving ourselves from ourselves. So it's got to be, and I do think, again, if that conversation in the back room is held, I think a couple of these things could be handled in a different manner, but it is what it is. I can only make an educated opinion based on what I feel as a fighter and what I would like to happen to myself. But all right, guys, thank you guys for tuning in. Remember, if you like my shit, subscribe to my shit or spinning back fist, baby. I see you guys next week. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, all those good things that you guys love. In the door. Have fun with the family. Stay blessed. Tune in next week. Boom. Funk out.